Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you're having a great Wednesday hump day. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. And I literally just said this on social media. Look, if you want to have fun, this is the fun show.
Yeah.
You want to have fun? This is where you need to be every day, starting at 2 o'clock. And I said, if you don't, well, this is not the place you need to be.
Right.
But, Mike, I got to be honest. As I'm sitting here, we were just talking about C.J. Stroud. How excited are you right now with where we're at with the Falcons? How excited are you?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yes.
7?
Okay.
I mean, just because it was, you know, maybe not. You know, look, I said, I can't, once Hargrave was gone, can't cry about it. But that was a guy I thought was really going to be the dude. And we've kind of taken the approach of getting a bunch of dudes, which is great. We need more bodies on defensive line. We've definitely addressed a need. No edge rusher really was that compelling. And maybe we can make one more move and a wide receiver. But, I mean, you checked all the boxes. It just, it lacks a little sex appeal.
Okay.
How's that?
And I agree with you. This is where I'm at because I'm out there watching C.J. Stroud throw, and I'm not indicating that I want Stroud. What I am telling you is, do you have that same excitement for our quarterback right now? Do you have that same excitement that you just expressed about the free agency moves about our quarterback? Now, if we were in this quarterback hunt, and apparently we're not, if we were...
Unless it's the greatest snow job of all time.
Well, and then guess what? They pulled the wool over our eyes. All right, but if we were, how much more excited would you be? And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching Stroud throw, and I'm going, man, you know what? I mean, the last 3 years we've had top 10 picks, and we have decided to not go this route because Matt was here, and then Matt was here, and then leaving, and then we had the Mariota. For whatever reason, 3 years in a row we've had top 10 picks, and we've not decided to do that. This year, here we are again at 8.
I know. And, like, most likely Anthony Richardson will be available unless somebody really is compelled to trade up there.
I got to be honest with you. That would give me sight. I got to be honest with you. It would give me just the rawness of what we might be getting.
Yeah. And, again, I don't know what the disconnect is with Ritter. He's a solid piece. I mean, I don't know.
But you feel me on this.
Yeah. No, and I like Ritter. Look, and all last summer, all I said is, Ritter wins a job. Be like Russell Westbrook. Be like Dak Prescott. Freeing up the money. And now we're here again, and you're like, those guys are shiny. But Stroud went as far in his college career as Ritter did a semifinal game.
He did.
Although, obviously, Stroud took Georgia to the brink until the fourth quarter happened.
Yeah, listen, though. Ohio State traditionally has been a better program than Cincinnati, right? This is the deal with Ritter. If you're going to say anything, you can say this young man helped build – okay, 4 years of greatness for Cincinnati, who became a relevant program in college football and then did something no other program did in FBS, which is they get into the college football playoff. Pretty impressive resume. I get it. All I'm saying is I'm sitting here and Alabama's quarterback's throwing and Ohio State's quarterback's throwing, and I'm going, how excited are you right now as a Falcon fan? Now, I do love the moves that Terry Fontenot has made. I'm with Mike on this. I don't know if we got all of this right, but it looks good. But I don't know if I have that same enthusiasm for the most important position on the field right now.
And that's kind of where I'm at right now. We know that the coaching staff has had more access because they see him every day. They're privy to stuff we haven't been able to see.
Yep.
And I understand the logic. I don't agree with it, but I understood the logic of sticking with Mariota as long as they did because we were alive for a division win until we weren't. And, you know, a guy with more experience still gives you a better chance than a guy with no experience. But Mariota, I think we all kind of saw the ceiling pretty early. So, regardless, that's crying over spilt milk. 4 games is all you got to see. And there were some good, and then you draft 2 fumbles. But You just didn't see that electric stuff that a couple guys brought up that they saw with Jalen Hurts, which I do. I didn't agree when they brought this up about a month and a half ago. I would agree with it now. Jalen Hurts put up some amazing stuff, even though he did struggle at times that first season.
Well, yeah, you just saw it, right? Right. Reese hits us up. He says, I do. I got enthusiasm. Ritter's going to be great. Here's the deal. When I see tons of Ritter jerseys at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Sunday, I'll know. I'll know. It may not happen this year. It may not be until next year. I don't know when it takes place. But, Mike, when that transition happens where guys are going, dude, I got to get a Ritter jersey. Like, that's my guy. Right. Like, have you seen what he's done? I'm not saying he's not capable. All I'm telling you is we're sitting here watching these pro days, and we're kind of envious of the fact that we have passed on this opportunity the last few years. I'm not blaming anybody.
Right.
This is not Terry Fontenot's fault. I think his hands were tied, Mike, when he got here. I really do with the Matt Ryan situation.
Right. Now, again, I've always felt like Ritter was sort of compelled by the coaching staff to not maybe run as much as he could have. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
You're talking about when he played
these
last
four games. Because the dude's, like, he threw for over 10,000 yards at Cincinnati. He rushed for over 2,100.
He can run.
He had 600 and 550 yard season. Now, again, that's not what Jalen Hurts would do, but this guy still can pick him up and put him down. It's not like against Lamar Jackson at Louisville, but this dude has the ability, and that's something I'd like to see a little bit more of.
404-741-0929. I'm just asking. We know what the circumstances are, at least right now. And as Mike said, unless they have completely pulled one over our head with the 8th overall pick the Atlanta Falcons select, I would be shocked, okay? But we know what it is. And I'm just asking, where's your excitement level right now? Guys, whatever additional free agent moves are made, they're not going to top what you got last week, right? Okay? That was the week to go all in, to beat the rush, to get the guys you wanted to get because we had the money. They may do a couple of other moves, but let's just say it's Rashawn Evans. Okay, great. He's coming back. It doesn't build the kind of excitement that you saw with the free agents we ended up going out and getting last week.
I just looked it up because I just make sure I had it right. He only ran 16 times in those four games. That averaged four runs per game. I mean, and he averaged 4 yards every time he moved.
But those weren't like RPOs,
No, and it really wasn't, you know, and I just wonder if they wanted him to stay between the hash marks by design. I don't know. To me, in Cincinnati, I saw him do a lot more, especially in the red zone with his feet.
All right. Want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. This radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Guys, we're on Twitch at ATL 929 The Game and on YouTube at 929 The Game. You can follow the show, check us out, and visually see what's going on. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. Just want to see where you're at. And again, do I feel better right now than I did at the end of the season based on the personnel we have? I don't even know what we're going to do in the draft.
Right.
The answer is yes. But as Ezekiel asked the question, he says, I don't understand the disconnect with Ritter. I think the disconnect is that we just haven't seen enough to get overly excited.
Yeah.
That's it.
And look, guys, we've asked this question. If you put Desmond Ritter in Shanahan's offense with all those weapons with the 49ers, could he have done the same things that Brock Purdy did? Because he had the same kind of college experience that Purdy did. Played a ton of games like Purdy did for Iowa State. Could he have done that? We'll never know. And if he could, and he did. See, I just don't know what the game plan was because of how limited we were at times with our pass blocking, our receiving, et cetera.
Here's where I'm at, Ezekiel, and this may be an unfair assessment. You guys tell me. The problem for me is, a lot of people have said that he played on a bad team and therefore he couldn't shine. My thing is, when you're great, you still show flashes, even on a bad team. And so, you know, you go around the league. If you're the Bills, you're already excited. You got your guy. If you're the Chiefs, well, you got Mahomes.
Right.
You know, go around the league and start saying, okay, hey, I'm excited. And you're excited because of one position because you know everything else is going to work based on the fact that you know what you know about that guy. The thing with Ritter is, if you're telling me, well, he played on a bad team, they weren't any good, I still would tell you that guys who are special shine. And if you think he's going to be a good quarterback, so be it. But I didn't see that last season.
And that's why you go back to 2020. Remember, the receiver core was really bumped because they had practice squad guys on the Eagles in 21 when Jalen Hurts finally got to start when they moved on from Wentz. His completion percentage was pretty awful, 52%. But he did throw 6 touchdowns, 4 picks. He ran for 3 scores. But there was some of those, ooh, the wow moments, you know, an 81-yard touchdown play. You know, I mean, a big scramble. You know, I mean, so it's just those things that you kind of say, okay, that's the thing that gets you energized and excited. And this is why I've always felt, and it's nothing against Ritter, guys. We give him a start here in Atlanta against the Bears and another start before he gets to the Saints. It might be a completely different narrative.
All right. We'll get you caught up on what we're hearing from C.J. Stroud's pro day. this could be the decision that makes him the number one overall pick today.
And I think I've got the tiebreaker for a team looking either Stroud or Bryce Young.
All right.
It's a very analog approach.
I can't wait to hear it. Coming up, Michael Sean Duggar. He is with The Athletic. He covers the Seahawks up in Seattle. They pick before we do. And I want to know what they're thinking right now because it could affect where we go in the upcoming NFL draft.
92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've been talking a lot about the upcoming draft. Obviously, today C.J. Stroud participating in Ohio State's Pro Day. We were talking about that as we started the show. And I want to know where teams in front of us may be thinking about going. And Michael Sean Duggar is with The Athletic. He writes about the Seahawks, covers the Seahawks, who joins us right now on the WaitForward.com hotline. And Michael, I think first and foremost, I don't know if people realize how many picks Seattle has in this upcoming draft. It's kind of interesting because if they wanted to maneuver, if they wanted to do something, they absolutely could. Obviously, the first round pick, but you also pick at 20. And then you got two twos, a third, and a fourth, and two fives, and a six. So with that said, what's the sentiment right now as to what they need and who they like?
First off, thanks for having me, you guys. Real quick, last name, Duggar. Just want to throw that out there before we get going. But for the picks that they have, they do have a lot. Yeah, they got 10 and 5 in the top 100. And the sentiment is simply get better. You know, like get a lot better. You know, the last game that teams have in the playoffs can be very humbling, depending on how it goes. Even if you're a team that loses by like 3 in the Super Bowl like the Eagles, or you get smoked by like 20, like the Seahawks did against the 49ers, like that always forces coaches and front offices to really evaluate, like, dang, how far are we from getting to our ultimate goal? And what the Seahawks learned in that wild card loss to the Niners is very far, particularly on defense. So I wouldn't be surprised if, what I say, 5 top 100 picks, if 4 of them are on guys who play defense. Don't really matter where, honestly, just as long as they're good and ready to impact the defense right away. It doesn't mean they won't, you know, look at some tight ends, a good tight end class, some receivers. You know, I mocked Jackson Smith and Jigma to them. I think the other day. So, I mean, there's some offensive players that fit them, but oof, the defense has to get much, much better because they didn't do a ton in free agency to upgrade the defense.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man, as we were talking about what Seattle's intentions are at 5. Can they snake us if Jalen Carter's around? It's Michael Sean Duggar with us here, guys, from The Athletic covering Seattle. A lot of controversy here in Atlanta about Jalen Carter. We want him here on this show. Some folks have said they wouldn't take him because of the red flag since the combine. The word came out, obviously, about the tragedy in Athens. Does Seattle have any kind of issues with that, or would they say, here's a guy that's considered one of the, if not the best, he's number one before all this stuff dropped?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that just blanketly they'd have issues. It's about doing the due diligence and finding out whether a guy did a bad thing or he is someone who perpetually does bad things, right? Those are very important distinction, all right? Sometimes you just get a guy, he does something, you know, he cheats on a test in class or, you know, says something stupid, you know, has a run-in with a cop once. And it's like, oh, okay, well, it's fine. That's an isolated incident. And then sometimes you learn something like that and you're like, oh, this dude's actually a knucklehead. So let's not take him, right? You got to make that distinction with Jalen. I never met the dude. I don't know one way or the other. I do feel like, though, the evidence piling up against him is coming rather quickly. You know, it's one thing to be in that racing incident and plead no contest to some misdemeanor charges. As cynical as the NFL is, I bet you a lot of GMs and coaches will dismiss that because dude is super talented. Now, however, when you have that happen to you, and then you show up out of shape and overweight at your job interview, that's where teams are like, okay, wait, this is a problem. You know, is that isolated? Is that a product of maybe some of this other stuff happened in the offseason? How likely is that to be the case when we give this guy a $20 million signing bonus, you know, which is what I believe it would be if the Seahawks took him at 5. Because that's the other part. It's the investment that's being made. You can take a chance on an alleged knucklehead in the 4th round, right? He might just be a special teamer anyway. I'm giving you $20 million as soon as you make the team. That's a little bit different. So I think Seattle would feel comfortable taking any player with any issue, whether it's something, unfortunately, whether you put your hands on a woman or whether you had a run-in with the law, whether you were drunk and driving or whatever. Like, Seattle's excused a bunch of stuff in the name of talent. The problem is we just don't have precedent for them doing it and then giving a guy a $20 million signing bonus. That's where it gets tricky with the Seahawks and Jalen.
I think John Schneider's done a really good job. I know he signed an extension. He's there through, I think, 27, 28. But take us inside of his process. Like, what is he saying? What does his history say as far as how he approaches these drafts and what he wants to do?
The history says he does not give a lot of first-round grades. I think the Seahawks are maybe maxed out at, like, 18, which is why I usually see them trade back when they're picking in the 20s. One of their trends also was picking guys who played well at the Senior Bowl. That doesn't necessarily help in the top five this year because ain't none of them dudes show up. There's that. But another trend that I feel like they will kind of go away from is they've, in the past, pushed guys up on their boards because of a need versus taking maybe the best guy available who wasn't necessarily at an urgent need. I think the biggest example here in Seattle is when they traded Frank Clark to the Chiefs like a couple days before the 2019 draft and then took LJ Collier out of TCU with pick 29. I highly doubt they had LJ as the highest graded player on their board at the time, but they needed an edge rusher right after they traded away Frank. So I think that was one mistake that they can probably learn from. In this case, so you look at what their needs are right now, interior offensive line, interior defensive line, and then like inside linebacker. None of those positions really scream top 10 pick. You know, those are all guys. You can get Pro Bowl guys at every spot I just named with picks in the 30s. Right. But I do think what Seattle has probably learned from that is we just got to take impact player when we are picking high. It can't just be an impact player. It can't just be the highest inside linebacker on the board because that's what we need, right?
Right.
Got to be an impact player, and we'll figure out the rest. Now, there's probably some exceptions there, like maybe left tackle, right? They took Charles Cross last year. They're probably fine there. But at some of these other spots, even receiver, like the best player should be should get their name called by the Seahawks at five. I don't really think it should have to do with like just because it fills a need necessarily.
It is Michael Sean Dugar, guys, from The Athletic covering Seattle. Give us a breakdown of what the plan would be at five. There's a lot of mock drafts where four quarterbacks go before six. I know that you guys gave Geno a three-year, $100 million deal. Would there ever be kind of some crazy scenario where a quarterback is there that they didn't expect to be there at five? And would they still pull the trigger or they don't want to eat that money on Geno's deal down the road?
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely plenty of scenarios where they fall in love with, like, Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. I wouldn't be surprised if they liked Hendon Hooker. They're currently, as we are speaking, they are at Ohio State's Pro Day watching C.J. Stroud. They're going to be at Alabama's Pro Day watching Bryce. They'll be at Kentucky's Pro Day, and I'm sure they'll be at Florida's Pro Day later this month as well. So the Seahawks have only taken, I believe, two quarterbacks in the draft under Pete Carroll and John Schneider. They took Russell Wilson in 2012 and then took Alex Magoo in 2018, I want to say, in like the seventh round, and that's it. And that's important because John Schneider he's from Wisconsin. He grew up a Packers fan. He used to work for Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson. Like, so he comes from that Packers school of like just draft a quarterback every year. Even if you have a guy, even if you have Brett Favre, even if you have Aaron Rodgers, or I guess Brett Favre's a better example. So like, even if you have Brett, draft a guy, you know, because there's quarterbacks are just such good assets, and it's been eating at John for the last 13 drafts that he's only drafted two guys, right? And never drafted one in the first round. So with that context in mind, his notebook's probably going to be full as hell after today of watching C.J. Stroud, and the same thing when they go watch Bryce and Will and Anthony later in the month. So I definitely think they can strongly consider it, even with Geno's deal, just because it's so rare for them to be picking in the top five. You know, they've never really coached their way into a top 10 pick. They've only done that once. The Seahawks have only drafted in the top 10 one time after a season in which Pete Carroll was the head coach. And that was in the 2021 season. And even then, their 10th pick went to the Jets and became Garrett Wilson. So pick 9 last year was Denver's. Pick 5 this year is Denver's. So the Seahawks are like, we're never going to suck enough to get a top guy, pretty much. So while we're up here, we got to give these guys a look. And that logic makes sense to me.
Michael Sean Dugar joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How much are they going to miss Rashad Penny? What's the running back situation with the Seattle Seahawks?
I definitely think they're going to miss him. Like I should start with that. How much? Well, they do have Ken Walker III. To illustrate just like how replaceable, quote unquote, Rashad kind of was in their system, right? Rashad broke his leg in New Orleans. I think that was week five, I want to say. And then Ken Walker, like the same quarter that Rashad broke his leg, had like a 69-yard touchdown. You know, and was like, oh. Okay, they'll be fine, you know, and it's this kind of cruel nature of the business. You know, one guy's back there getting told his leg is broke. The other guy, his replacement, who's much cheaper and younger, is in the end zone. that kind of encapsulates all that comes with the hard business of the NFL. But because they have Ken, they have that other home run hitter. And that's kind of what separates Rashad and what the Eagles are getting from other backs in the league, because Rashad can just take a inside zone handoff 68 yards just out of nowhere. And at 236 pounds, he ain't that easy to bring down. So they will miss having two of those guys, but like some teams don't have one of those dudes. And the Seahawks were fortunate enough to have two last year, but by having Ken Walker III, you know, who I think turns 22 this year, like Ken's a pretty young dude, maybe 23. So to have him on the roster with 3 years left on a team-friendly deal, like, yeah, the Seahawks are fine in that regard.
Hey, before we let you go, man, is Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic in Seattle giving us a breakdown. Were you as surprised as we were about the Russell Wilson disaster in Denver in year one? Or did anything give you any indication that was going to be? And all the things that were said about him, too, pro and con.
Yeah, I was surprised this time last year. Like, if you ask me in March, like, hey, Mike, do you think Russell Wilson's going to stink? I'm like, well, no, probably not. Russell Wilson's a good quarterback. Now, if you ask me that in early September, after I read some of those quotes from a Peter King article in which he quotes someone anonymously who says that Russell Wilson and Hackett aren't necessarily quarterback and coach. They're more like partners. I read that quote. I even tweeted it at the time. I was like, oh, this is a problem. Right, because that's not the case. They're not partners, right? They are quarterback and coach. And if that's already been distorted before they even play a freaking game, if they don't come out the shoot scoring 40 points a game, this is going to get ugly. Like, that was a bad sign for me. It was one of those things that was kind of hard to, like, get in front of. All I could do was tweet it out. But in my mind, I was telling people, hey, man, if these guys come out the gate and go 0-1 or 0-2 or something like that, and the offense doesn't look good, this is going to be a disaster, because you have to establish a hierarchy in a building, right? There's ownership, there's front office, there's coach, there's players, right? And like, you can't skip the line. I don't care how good you are. Even Tom Brady had to leave New England, you know, for similar reasons. So I think I knew in August and September that could potentially be a disaster because of how Russell Wilson and Hackett were kind of viewing one another. That's just not sustainable in an NFL building.
Right now, you're saying defense. Obviously, everything could change, but you're saying with that fifth pick, that's where you think they're going.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. You know, you pray for four quarterbacks going in front of you if you're Seattle, so you can get Will Anderson. If Will goes, maybe you roll the dice on Jalen. But if not, you know, right now on my laptop, I've got some film up of Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. You know, initially I thought a guy that tall and 280 pounds or whatever with that wingspan would have a problem maybe bringing an outside linebacker in a 3-4. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. That's why they make film. I was wrong. This kid is athletic. You know, I would feel comfortable with him at five based on some of the film I've been watching too. So I think it's got to be defense. And if you are going to take a swing on an offensive player, it better be one whose ceiling is high as hell. And for me, that's only Anthony Richardson of the quarterbacks that they'd, you know, reasonably be able to get.
Great stuff. Michael, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for stopping by. And I'm curious to see how this all shakes out. It's all right now just trying to figure out where these teams are going to go. Great job, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. All right, guys. And he's talking about the young man out of Texas Tech. Mike and I were ironically just talking about this. I'm not necessarily sold yet. I get it. It's not about where he played. When you talk about what he just said is what I'm hearing from scouts. That size and length, is he really able to come off the edge, bend? All right. Some of the things we've heard over the years with Chuck Smith, I don't know, Mike, but he's getting high ratings and he had a good combine. So he may sneak into the top 10. There's no doubt. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk more about what happened last night. It was a rebound, literally. It's coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We just went up to Seattle. We'll be doing this periodically leading up to the draft. And again, after these pro days, things will potentially change. But we know the Carolina Panthers have the first overall pick. Texans, they pick second. A little bit later on the day, we're going to talk to John McClain. He's in Houston, longtime NFL insider. We'll get his thoughts on what they are thinking. And it doesn't matter. Like, are they comfortable with if they go C.J. Stroud, we go Bryce Young. If they go Bryce Young, we go C.J. Stroud. Or is it something else that they may be thinking? The Cardinals pick third. The Colts are the team that I think, Mike, still potentially maybe want to jump at least Arizona. They know Arizona's not picking a quarterback. But they don't want anybody to jump in front of them and potentially take out of their hands the ability to go get the guy that they want.
And the latest CBS Sports mock draft has Seattle taken Jalen Carter.
Yep.
And so he would be out, and then we'd have a decision to make. They got the Lions going with Tyree Wilson. If you just missed it, we were talking with Michael Sean Dugar, who was basically saying the size element, and you were questioning what about the speed, the flexibility, the athleticism of the big dude from Texas Tech, and that's Tyree Wilson. A lot of mock drafts still have us going Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, which no Falcon fan would be excited about. It's a need.
It is.
Technically.
I like Gonzalez a lot. Mm-hmm. I would not necessarily be upset about that. Again, you can't have enough corners. The deal with Wilson, I was saying this to Mike, he's just bigger than everybody else, right? He's projected, at least right now, depending on who you talk to or what draft model you look at, the third best edge rusher. So Will Anderson, Miles Murphy, and then Wilson. But Wilson's like 6'6", 6'5", 280. Mike, he ran a 4.8. Nolan Smith's 4.3. Okay, now he's not the size. He's 240.
Right.
But I always say you can't teach that. If you want Micah Parsons, that's Micah Parsons. That you can't put him on the field and do all these different things. He is going to come off the edge. They rate him very high for his pass rush, but that would be my concern is, and it just depends on the team. Again, if Seattle feels like, hey, he can definitely help us, they're going to go with him at 5.
The thing is, remember, if you go back and take it 2 years ago, I just looked during the commercial break. 2 years ago, Micah Parsons was the first linebacker slash edge rusher, and he was the first defensive, big-time defensive player other than corners. The corners went. Patrick Surtain went. And who was the corner? There was two corners taken. Last year was the big debate was Trayvon Walker or Aiden Hutchinson. Remember that one? And Aiden Hutchinson was a stud. Trayvon Walker came on over the length of the season. Both guys, you would probably give the edge to Aiden Hutchinson, you know, as maybe the slightly better player.
Impact.
And the Lions, again, they're on the cusp of maybe going to the playoffs this year. And then you go to this year, and it's kind of in between because Jalen Carter was, up until 3 weeks ago, the slam dunk.
Yeah.
And then you've got the guys, and we just talked about it. Do you think that Miles Murphy from Clemson is a good fit? You know, or you just talked about Tyree Wilson, and then we get into the Christian Gonzalez thing. You know, there's two good corners there. Then there's also offensive line. Skoronski's been linked with us. We talked about Paris Johnson from the Buckeyes. All things are needs. So, guys, all I'm saying to the listeners, yesterday guys were saying, well, we're talking to Calais Campbell. We don't need – no, we need a tackle. Calais Campbell's 37 in the fall.
That's not
That's a rotational guy.
Yeah.
We can still take the best athlete available, but it's got to be the best defensive athlete available.
Best player, man. Best player. Let me ask you guys this. While we were talking about Jalen Hurts, or not Jalen Hurts, but the comparison earlier as we started the show, when I was saying, how do you feel about the Falcons right now based on what we know? And a guy said, well, he did the same thing Hurts did, except he only got 4 games. You just brought up Aiden Hutchinson. Go watch the tape. He can play. He popped. He made plays.
But here's the thing. If you watched him against Georgia, you wouldn't have drafted him.
And that's the point, Mike. That's exactly right. You say after the Georgia game, we had people saying, well, I wouldn't take that guy. Right. He gets to the league. Because one game doesn't define you, right? It shouldn't in college if your resume is good. And that's the argument for Ritter, that his resume is good. He only had a few starts. But when is he going to pop? Aiden Hutchinson popped, guys. If you didn't watch any of these Lions games this last season, he's strip-sacking folks, recovered fumbles, picks. I mean, he picked Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So that is the difference when you say, all right, how does he help our team, and is he going to come in and help us immediately? You're right, Mike. The argument last year, who got the better player? I think the Lions got the better player, at least right now. The Lions got the better player.
I'm looking at the numbers. Look at the numbers.
Look at the numbers.
Yeah. 9.5 sacks versus 3.5 sacks.
He's a player, man.
52 combined tackles versus 24. Now, granted, they're asking Trayvon Walker to do something different in the interior.
Correct. They are. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk more about this as we move along. Coming up, by the way, Connor Riley is going to talk dogs with us. Spring ball and all the things that are happening with the coaching staff. That's going to happen at 4 o'clock. We will also get into what Josh Kendall said this morning. He is from The Athletic. He covers our Falcons on the morning shift about his Jalen Carter comments. He wrote about it, and then he talked about it today. And what he wrote about and what he said, well, they don't necessarily match up. So we'll talk about that. I know a lot of people, including myself, was a little bit upset about the idea that you don't even want to think about picking Jalen Carter at 8 if he's there. Turtle behind the glass, our engineer, executive producer, he's doing it all. Let's get to some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, last night, good win for the Hawks, right? Yay! They should have beat Detroit. I mean, come on. It's Detroit.
Struggling in the first half, and Detroit didn't have their best player on the floor last night.
I mean, Quinn Snyder was talking about, you know, that they shouldn't celebrate this win. And he's right.
Just pleased with the way that, you know, we protected the paint. And it's not anything we need to be, you know, too congratulatory about. We just got to keep working at it and keep doing it.
Well said, Coach. Well said.
As he walks into the locker room, he's like, this is the Pistons. Relax. Good news is a lot of guys showed up last night, Mike. Trey showed up. Clint Capella showed up. Bay showed up. You had a bunch of guys that played well. It's a good
Would
win.
You say good 4 quarters, though? Did you get 4 quarters?
No,
out
you
of
did not.
That's the thing.
No, you did not. No. And that's been the issue. Speaking
What are we playing for, you know?
I'm asking, DJ.
Right on.
Trey Young did say it felt good, though, to bounce back after the San Antonio L.
Important. I think we learned a lot from that last game, and we just got to keep moving forward and now that the same mistakes happened twice, so we gotta figure it out, and I think we did tonight, and we just got to go up to Minnesota tomorrow and take care of business.
Champions don't lose those games.
Yeah. DeJounte's out, not flu-like. It's, I guess some kind of cold. It ain't COVID. Bogey's banged up. Jalen Johnson's banged up. So whatever your full compliment. And Ant-Man apparently is a little banged up there. So Anthony Edwards may or may not play.
Carl Anthony Towns is going to return, so their big fella will be back tonight.
By the way, from Hawks Muse, this is a guy who does a lot of stats, and I follow him on Twitter. Hawks have had 26 straight games within one game of 500. That is now currently the longest streak in NBA history.
Wow.
Which some could say, definition of mediocrity.
Up, down, up, down. Yeah, it's crazy. Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. I don't know about you, but I found myself last night watching the World Baseball Classic because USA. And anytime it's USA versus anybody, I'm watching. And it was USA versus Japan. And when I turned it on, Japan had the lead. And I said, oh, this is good. This is going to be fun. Right. And it was. Unfortunately, we don't win. Japan wins the World Baseball Classic 3-2. But I got to tell you guys, I hadn't watched maybe but 25 minutes of the entire tournament. We get in the championship game. I watched almost the entire game last night. Mike, I was psyched. It was great.
Yeah, man, I think this is one I said on Twitter, maybe get some people off the fence because, again, there's no tradition. Yes, it's been going on for over a decade and a half, but no one really, you know, puts it up there as far as things. It's appointment television. Then you get teammates, and everyone's talking about Shohei Ohtani against Mike Trout. And the fact that, by the way, you know, we don't have our best pitchers in this, but pitching really wasn't a problem. Japan only scored 3 runs, but everyone's talking about 2 things. Japan wanted to win this more than anything, and Shohei Ohtani before the game basically giving a big speech. Yes, you emulate these guys, but no, we can play with these guys. And don't be overwhelmed with the fact they got all the All-Stars on the American team. So it was something else. But that filthy slider from Shohei Ohtani against Trout, it was unbelievable.
He's the best player in baseball.
Pound for pound.
He pitches. And he hits. There are a lot of guys who hit. They don't pitch.
Right.
He is the best player in baseball. Now, I say that, and I know we could argue about different guys. But nobody's doing what he's doing. I've been saying this for 2 years. And he's doing it at a higher rate than Babe Ruth did it.
Right.
He's he's absolutely incredible.
The only problem is he's playing in Orange County, California.
With the Angels.
He's not playing with the Red Sox or the Yankees or anybody else. But again, you see him a little bit on ESPN. You got an MLB network, yes. The other thing last night was, yes, I'd love to see a guy like Max Fried. You worry about your players. Maybe people are less concerned about injury. The Diaz thing is going to, you know, that's just an outlier. The one thing last night, as we said, it really wasn't truly pitching.
Yeah.
You left 7 guys in scoring position, left 9 runners. There were 9 men left on base for Team America last night.
Yeah, that was the issue. All right, we'll let you hear what it sounded like coming up, the final call, and also, I love Mike Trout. Trout's like, look, we'll be back. You got guys motivated to want to play in 2026, which is cool. All right, we got plenty more to get to. Falcons are going to host Calais Campbell. We'll talk more about that as we get to our NFL Blitz next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.